Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. This is a college football podcast, but I want to lead off with a story that I think transcends a lot of human interest, like...
Ooh, lead off, baseball term.
...categories. Yeah, this is a baseball podcast now. We're talking about getting to third base with your best friend's dad.
Oh, Grub, what? No.
Yes! We're talking about my favorite story this week.
I'm going back to watching my beloved Red Sox.
No!
Nobody wants to see your feet. Go Sox.
No, this is more important than that. It's more important than baseball. I'm sorry,
I don't understand.
I'm going to rephrase that.
Look, as a lifelong Red Sox fan, I'm almost positive there's a game happening right now.
Which is headline in the New York Post. I married my best friend's dad.
Wait, what?
And now I'm her stepmom.
See?
Eat it, Karen!
It wouldn't be so bad.
To hell with you, Sharon! I won this game.
I like it because the second half of the sentence is not technically necessary. It is implied, but it's in there as if to just twist the knife.
I like that you think this is funny as long as it's hypothetical. Whereas the last time I asked you if it would be weird when I became your stepmom, you got really upset.
That is a deeply upsetting thought for so many reasons.
Also, this dad in the New York Post is way hotter than your dad.
Yeah, you should know, ladies 27. Dude is Kern, not Ken. Kern Lehman.
He looks like a Kern.
Kern Lehman. He's 52 and retired. I have questions. Can I ask you the state? Do you know off the top of your head?
Ooh, 52 and retired. I'm going to say oil and gas, Louisiana.
You know, your instincts weren't wrong. They were just a little too far east. Gentlemen, if you don't know, would you like to place a guess as to which state produced this union?
I'll say Arizona.
Ding! Oh, that shit. Is correct. That is 100% correct. Does the dude look a little... I'm not saying he does. Does he look a little bit like kind of a Cenogenics model? Like somebody who, you know, might be familiar with the benefits of human growth hormone? Yeah. Yeah. Does he have the gigantic collars that are the universal sign that a middle-aged man has adopted his outfit that he's going to wear until he's, I don't know, about 62?
I want to look like I'm always in a casino ad.
That's right. I got cuffs and a collar. That's pretty much 50% of the shirt, cuffs and collar. Yeah, yeah. That's 100% this dude. All right.
DirecTV just called me. Should I call him back on the air and tell him to get me the fucking Pac-12 network?
No, you should absolutely ask them about this story.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Hey, DirecTV.
Hi, what did you say your name was? Ramon. Ramon, hello.
Do you know a man named Kern?
No, the last time he called, it was Ramon, and before that it was Sheila. And I keep asking them about the Pac-12 network, and then they hang up. It's weird.
If this is a story of two people with a vast age difference being married, what is the one phrase that always pops up? And is it in this story when they explain their union? No. That's assumed.
Kidney disease.
No. Why are we together?
Early onset dementia.
We're both...
old souls. Yes!
Huh.
Yeah, it's in here.
See, your dad's not an old soul, but neither am I.
Is there a part where she's like, you never know, I might die first?
Yeah.
Kern's like, yeah, you might.
That is at the end, which is my favorite, which was this, which was when they're considering that, right? They go, you know, this is actually a consideration. You have to do it. It's like having a large breed dog when people are like, oh, that's a really great dog. You know, they die really young, right? Like, I don't know you. Why are you going to talk shit about my dog like that?
You think somebody pulled him aside at the wedding and was like, you know, they die real young, right?
Yeah.
You know that old guy you're with is going to die very soon.
Yeah, now seeing a downside.
On the other hand, this 27-year-old girl is the first... person to go from coach and waiting to coach. She made the leap that so many others could not.
Okay, scanning this article now, they skip entirely over the only aspect of this story I'm truly interested in, which is the relationship between the two women.
Yeah.
We skip so much here. I have so many questions.
You mean new mom?
Yeah.
That is the only part of the story I'm interested in.
No, that's the only part of the story that I want to know about, and it's the only part that they don't talk about.
So that was the headline?
Also, they were like, yeah. The headline says best friend's dad, and then the story, it's like, oh, we worked at the same place. And I'm like, that doesn't make you best friends.
See, I see this beginning 20 years ago when a 7 and 8 year old version of these two same ladies are at some sort of equestrian camp. And they go, girls, just go pick out a pony. And one of the girls is like, I want that one.
I want Kern. I like Kern. I like the look of Kern's mane.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, they're 8.
And she takes the other girl's horse.
Oh,
right?
7 to 8 years ago, story. So they're 20.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No. She took the horse, like...
Carry on.
She took the horse the other one wanted, and she's like, one day I'll get you back. Well, guess what? Today's that day, because I married your dad.
Holly, can I ask a deeply uncomfortable question?
Why stop now?
Oh, God.
If you were Spencer's new mom, what's the first thing you would do as sort
That's
of like...
That's an interesting use of the subjunctive there, Ryan.
What would sort of your first parental act be?
Oh, man. I would tell him he's hosting Thanksgiving. And then I would give him a list of all of the allergies. I don't know. What else do moms do this time of year?
You're getting a Popeye turkey.
In the rare, literal Troop Beverly Hills moment, my parents are in Barcelona right now. No. My parents are in Monte Carlo right now.
Yeah.
I'm Carla Gugino, and this is Shut Down Fullcast. So I can't ask my own mother for advice at this moment. But if she were here, she'd probably be telling you to host Thanksgiving and sending you a detailed list of everyone's allergies.
Spencer, yeah. You're Craig T. Nelson. Congrats.
Half of Craig T. Nelson.
I feel like, Ryan, that wasn't a deeply disturbing question, but I feel like if I had a little more time to prep on that, I could come up with a way worse answer than that.
Let's be more specific. I'm Craig T. Nelson, not in Coach. I'm Craig T. Nelson in Poltergeist.
Poltergeist 2.
Oh, yeah. You're definitely haunted.
If you're my stepmom, yeah. Yeah.
Again, with the subjunctive.
Oh, God. I just wanted to say, you should really consider Arizona State, because this could be one of the wonders in your life, is being around Kern.
Wait, can we, speaking of welfare checks, can we tell people what happened to us today? Can we please?
Yeah, it was really funny. Go ahead.
It was after lunch. It was a normal day. We were driving down the interstate. I was driving down the interstate. Spencer was in the passenger seat. And we were pulled over by a state trooper. I was not speeding. I did not have a busted taillight. The state trooper just wanted to make sure I was okay. And my only thought is that he saw your beard in profile and was like, ma'am, are you all right?
Came to my side of the car.
Yeah, walked up to Spencer's side of the car and was like, ma'am, is everything okay?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Do we lose Ryan and Jason, or is this just not as funny as I thought
it was?
No,
I'm just...
I thought it was hilarious. No one else did.
I'm happy sad for Spencer.
Are you okay, ma'am, as he stands at my window?
Well, I think it's good to know that Spencer, he clearly thought you were okay.
I just enjoyed that.
He's like, this guy has definitely got it all together and has no problems.
I really just enjoy that this is one of the new Crime Stoppers tips in their heads, right? Like, when we were growing up, it was always like, hey, if you find yourself kidnapped, right? You're like, what? Wait. And in this state trooper's head, it was like, she's probably being kidnapped by that man with a beard. I should stop.
And making me drive, too, which is just rude.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a really inconsiderate kidnapper.
I bet he's got foot problems, and that's why she has to drive.
Yeah,
he's probably a menace with plantar fasciitis.
Big sloppy bags of feet.
Here's
oh God, I forgot.
Here's why I wasn't laughing though, because part of me is hurt for Spencer because like this highway patrolman saw in Spencer a dangerous go-getter, you know, not somebody who's on the right side, but somebody who's at least out there doing things. And instead, he just found a passenger.
He just found a blogger.
Yeah, it's not a dude who, yeah. You know.
You should have just said, yeah, he has a podcast. I'm fine. He has two podcasts. I'm really fine. Is yeah, this, wait, should we do podcast business now?
This calls for a round of podcast business.
Podcast business.
What's up, business? Podcast business. Get that business. Podcast business.
Please pull over to the side of the road now, just so any passing law enforcement officers know that you're okay.
I'm not being kidnapped. Podcast business. Today on the recording, that would be today, Tuesday, but you know, it's the internet. It's there 24/7. You can go listen to my new podcast, It Seems Smart at the Time, which is about people making bad decisions when it comes to sports games and trying to get an edge. Maybe not doing it in the smartest way. Totally. Maybe doing things like stealing bats.
It's a sports podcast about bad ideas. Totally different from this one.
Yeah. This sports podcast is a bad idea.
Yes, this is the crime. You're listening to it.
Yeah, it's a caper. We continue to pull it off for negligible gains, just like the people who populate the stories that make up It Seems Smart. So,
can I ask a question?
You may.
Without divulging too much, what is the best story that you did not get to do for the first run of this show?
Nothing yet, because I want to hold on to those.
Oh! But,
yeah.
Tantalizing.
I don't know. Do you have one?
You thought you were such a slick lawyer, right?
No. I honestly
outfoxed yet again.
I only know what a handful of the episodes are. I don't even know. I mean, based on my performance trying to produce this podcast, and yes, that was with quotes around it, I was not allowed anywhere near that production, so I know almost nothing.
I would say this. There is a, it's probably the story about Lane Kiffin at the Sun Bowl.
That won't even fill a whole podcast.
Lies.
All right.
I can make that fill a whole podcast. Not a good one, but still, a 7-minute episode regarding Lane Kiffin at the Sun Bowl. The full glory and story of which will be revealed as soon as all parties are far enough away from any serious material concerns in order to tell the truth. Or if I just get drunk on air and have to tell it.
People are going to... I feel like we're building people up.
We are. It's fine.
Too much.
No, there's okay. No such thing. You gotta hook them.
I saw on... I think it was on the Fullcast Reddit. Somebody was making a comment that I saw somebody on another Reddit say that this is what happened. And
were they right?
No.
Ah.
But the pieces are out there. They can be found. Yeah,
so we can see the public is still trying to slide the pieces into place. So
they're missing the best piece, and it's such a good piece.
Yeah, let's just say there are corner pieces. You can probably imagine. You can guess them. There's a corner piece.
I'll respond with what
the big old piece in the middle. Mm-hmm. That's the one you need.
I'll respond with what Russian officers would say when they were not supposed to tell anyone anything, which is, I am not ordered to know that.
That sounds like something one of your children would say.
That is my little commissars would definitely say something like that. I am not ordered to know that.
That's also what happens if you send a Freedom of Information request to Georgia Athletics.
It's true. It's the NKVD, which stands for dogs. That's what the D stands for there. Do we have a preview episode to do? For I'm going to try to do this. Are you ready?
Oh boy. Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. Oh boy.
Okay, here we go. You ready?
Yeah. What were you stretching?
Were you counting on fingers and toes?
I was winding up.
No, I muted the microphone because I had to sneeze because I'm still sick. Podcast business.
We're going into week 9, folks.
Hey!
Woo!
All right.
Correctly enough. Right. I think that's 3 weeks in a row that I've nailed the week that we're in.
Yeah. I mean, granted, last week you said game day was going to Wazoo for the first time
in nine years. That's an entirely different years. Question, counselor. I'd like it stricken from the record. Did you go to law school for this shit?
Yeah, but...
How many overlapping timelines is one man supposed to remember?
In the interest of full disclosure, can I tell you a full Spencer moment I had today?
Besides the one where he was accused of being a kidnapper?
No. This is like I went full Spencer, which is that I failed an online quiz that I had to take. I had to answer a bunch of questions to validate my identity online, and one of them was like, how old is your brother? And I don't know. And I was like, shit. And now I have to complete this registration by mail because I only have one sibling and I don't know how old he is. He's younger than me, so that narrows it down. But...
His Spencer spores live in your brain now. Sorry.
Shit.
Yep.
You're welcome.
No, there is no cure.
It was it wasn't even the exact age. It was a range. And I was like,
Jesus.
I froze, man.
Does everyone on here know sibling ages? I can't give you the exact number.
Jason, do you have siblings?
I have a sister. I can't give you the exact number.
Okay. Of sisters or how old she is?
No one knows how many sisters I have. I'm in a cult. I was in a cult as a child. About 30, 11 sisters. I have one sister of undetermined age.
See, the good news is if you're the oldest, then that narrows the number down significantly as long as you know how old you are, which that takes another moment of thought.
Well, that's the starting point. That calculations needed there.
I do. I know both of my siblings' ages.
Look at that.
Yeah, so do I. But I have an unfair advantage.
You only have you only have one.
No, I have two siblings.
You have two siblings? Oh my God.
Wait, what's the unfair
and
advantage?
And you are in between the two of them.
No, I'm the oldest. The unfair advantage is that we're all born in June and we're all born 2 years apart.
Systematic.
Yeah.
Did your parents have an appointment?
Wasn't Ryan lecturing us just a few short podcast episodes ago about how you can't plan for this stuff?
Yeah, the third one was unplanned, believe it or not. My sister
that wasn't
was not
you?
No, it was, but even within this system, my youngest sibling was an accident, which I feel like was the thing for
a
lot of
miracle.
Sure. Yeah.
Were your parents
we're talking very romantic Halloweens? Is that how the
I know,
I think it's more like Labor Day.
Were your parents
no kidding.
Labor Day. Time to do
were
work.
Were your parents salmon? Did they return to the same spawning ground every single year at the same time?
Yep.
I was going to have a fourth, you know, sibling, but...
Ooh, it's Pearl Harbor Day.
Oh.
Hey, have you guys ever met any of those people who claim to be named after the place they were conceived? And what is the weirdest one you've ever met?
No. Who?
Space.
These are real?
I've only met one and it is a doozy.
Okay.
Go on.
Breckenridge. First name. And let me tell you, he is everything that you would hope for from conceiving at fucking Breckenridge.
I hope this person was actually conceived like half an hour outside of Breckenridge at a rest stop, and the parents are just like, well, what's nearby that sounds nice?
You were conceived at Copper, you shit bird.
what's your friend's name over here? This is my friend Rikers. His middle name is Island. Yeah, that's where he was conceived.
So it's not a Star Trek thing? No, 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 no.
No, 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 quite. Although it is far, far away. Space. The final frontier.
Hello, I'm Key West. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I'd just be Franklin. Just be Franklin, Tennessee. It's where I was conceived. I'm pretty sure I was named after Spencer Creek, because my dad, or a road called Spencer Creek, because my dad used to drive by it, and he was probably short on ideas. And he was like, yeah, I don't know, there's a sign.
You'd be a real good Frank. If your name were Frank instead of Spencer, you could own that pretty well.
I would have grown into that, yeah. I think that would have been fine.
You would not currently be a cop, but you would have been a cop at one point, and how that transition happened is not a thing you're willing to talk about.
Damn, man. Frank Hall?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Officer Frank Hall.
Yeah. That's some Punisher shit right there.
Yeah. It would be so funny how not Punisher I would be compared
to
my name.
Yeah, you're Sleepy Punisher, to be clear.
I'll get vengeance as soon as I take this nap.
Vengeance is...
Punish implies a range. Mm-hmm. Like, what the Punisher does in the comics, that's a bit extreme. You could punish with, like, you know, timeout. You could send people to timeout.
I'll roast you on Twitter, Kingpin.
I'll get you Wilson Fisk in the mentions.
No more electronics for you.
I've signed you up for junk mail.
I've signed you up for your own mocking website showing how your taste is really bad and garish, called King Pinterest.
Jesus, let's do the preview, wow. Please. Start with Thursday.
Thursday. You know what? Is this our best Thursday? I mean, Thursdays haven't been real abundant.
Best undersells it. I would say first good is a better way to put it.
Okay. Best of a bad bunch or first good one. But yeah, this is a solid Thursday schedule leading off with, these are churches, but two different ones. That'd be Baylor at West Virginia.
Different churches.
Vastly different churches.
It's fine.
In some ways.
Baptist. This is Baptist versus Primitive Baptist.
Proto-Baptist.
Baptist versus Free Will Baptist.
Yeah.
Unfrozen Caveman Baptist.
The church of the Mountain Holler.
Free Will Baptist is a real thing. I'm not dissing Baptist. Shush. But not right then.
There are no Baptist listeners.
God, I hope not. Their pastors heard that.
Baylor's still a church under construction, I think, if we were going to continue this metaphor. They're going to have a defense next year. This very much is starting to look like a Matt Rhule team next year. This is still a project.
Sure. Whereas West Virginia, there are no plans to add a defense at this time.
Not necessary. None. This church, you know what? Some churches have a juice bar. We don't need a juice bar. Sorry. Pastor.
Hogo runs one of them cool churches. You show up in jeans and we got free coffee jeans when you come in. It was made on Thursday.
This is a hotel. Yeah, I know.
It's the denim deacons. No shirt, no shoes, just jeans.
That's absolutely, and you know, just to continue that, you know, there might have been a juice bar at one point, or the defensive extension added, right? The defensive assembly hall added, but I don't know. You know, there's a little problem with the casino. God never said I shouldn't. You know,
our church is a casino.
God never said anything about an inside straight.
I'm a deliver this sermon in short shorts because closer my God to knee. You know what I'm saying?
You deserve to be jailed for that.
Wow. Wait, are you saying that God is in the hemline? Because that's further from the knee. But closer to the balls.
You know, either one's a bet, and I'm not a man to shy away from one of those.
Y'all, I got more NyQuil than blood's in my vein right now. Let's knock this out. Let's build us a church.
I would also remind everybody that we are coming up on West Virginia being 2 weeks removed from what is legitimately one of the biggest ass kickings that delivered. Like, Purdue kind of took the onus off of, and even then, I don't know if, like, by the stats, that still isn't a bigger ass kicking. Iowa State flattened West Virginia. So this is a nice little rebound game.
All right.
Nice little shoulder rub and a pat on the ass before you walk in and annihilate the Baylor Bears. Because that's really what they want to do. Because last time, remember, I believe West Virginia ran something like 42 plays.
42. Total. It means they got plenty left over for this one.
Yeah. They're rollover. Well, they save up. Yeah.
A thing I want to point out about this game and this week in general. All right. There are 20 ranked teams in action this week. 20 out of 25. And I don't have the numbers in front. I believe 15 of them are playing away from home. And or all of them are playing teams with winning records. So when we talk about a weekend such as the one 2 weeks prior, Blood Week, it is not guaranteed that we only get one Blood Week per year. I don't want to raise expectations. I just want to put out a little bit of an awareness that we could see quite a few upsets again this week, just with so many. So many teams in slightly precarious situations.
It's Blood Week 2. This time, it's about the blood.
And this one is just about the only game where it's like, I don't really see. You know, it's a long, short week. Well, not really short, but it's a long travel on a weird night for Baylor. Baylor's not very good. So maybe you scratch this one off the upset list. Wink, wink, I'm jinxing it. And then we move on to the real carnage.
Can we talk about a real rivalry? Baylor West Virginia is just kind of a theoretical rivalry with some interesting historical, you know, results down the table. But a real rivalry, brother, That'd be in Statesboro. Because Thursday night's going to hit you with App State. App State.
Not just App State. Please use the correct adjective ahead of them.
That'd be number 25. Ranked 25 ranked, in the nation.
Ranked App State. Ranked App State.
Yeah. That'd be App State at Georgia Southern. They're going below the Nat Belt, brother. And walking into Irk Russell's Coliseum of Blood. Proper name of the stadium in Statesboro if you haven't been there. This is a fun, nasty little game. I'm fond of this one. I like it, especially because, yeah, it involves Georgia Southern. And it involves, oh yeah, does it have its own Wikipedia entry? You're darn right it does. Have they been playing since 1932? Intermittently. Occasionally.
Well, not only is this, you know, since these teams have jumped to FBS, like at FCS, this was for a while, this was the rivalry at that level. Since they've jumped up, it's rarely had stakes because Georgia Southern has struggled a bit. But this year, both these teams are coming in with just one loss each. This is, for the first time in a while, this game has some stakes to it. It could decide the Sun Belt. It could, with some help elsewhere, this could decide a New Year's Six game. Say maybe the AAC champ takes a loss or two and the Mountain West champ takes a loss or two. That's not out of the question yet. So if you want a game where the two teams hate each other, the fans despise each other, and you got two good teams with something to play for, I mean, I think this is the best Thursday night game of the year so far. Maybe for the whole year.
Son, that is strong, but I like it. I like it a lot.
Here's the one downside: App State not beating Penn State is just looking worse as the weeks go on.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think they beat Penn State,
but what does that mean if they did? Like Michigan State did that.
Oh, gross. That's a great point. Man, I walked right into that, didn't I?
Yeah, I take it back. App State is bad. They couldn't even beat Penn State.
That's Bush League, Ryan. That's BS.
I take it all back.
Ryan, you will be, well, I guess it makes it even sadder to know that like at least 20 minutes of the hour plus long episode we lost the other night when you weren't here was just us trying out different old man cusses in Mark D'Antonio's voice.
Ooh, like I'm guessing it's a lot of animal plus shit or crap.
There was a lot of horse pucky. There was a lot of guff. Several permutations of bum and bumsmanship. It was beautiful.
My favorite old man cuss is when you say something positive, but in an angry, like you say, God bless America. Like that's a real.
Oh, that's my dad. That's my dad's power move.
I like the one where they take the first letter of the first word and switch it around. And so instead of saying like pistol farts, they say like fistle parts.
Fistle parts sounds even worse.
Father Mucker.
Yeah they do that. So it's like, I didn't say farts. I didn't use the use unclean language.
Yeah. One of my sons did this the other day. Fark! What did you say? Dad, I didn't say fuck.
Dad, it's a Florida-based website. Just
it's
wait
an
till
ancient
learns
message board.
Yeah.
It's for people made memes 10,000 years ago.
4chan you, Dad! That will get you
I would
into
also,
your room.
I would also, just before we move on from this game, point out Georgia Southern gave Clemson a closer game than NC State did.
I wasn't going to bring that up. God.
Yeah, that's. I'm just here to present the facts. You do with them what you will. So nobody mentioned any game on Friday.
That's not true. That's not true.
No, what? No.
That's not true. You can give me two. You can give me two. Damn it, Ryan's, because I have two games I want to talk about on this schedule.
Two damn it's Ryan.
Damn it, Ryan.
Thank you.
Two damn it Ryans and a Ric Flair.
Where would you like me to start? Miami at Boston College? Or Utah at UCLA?
How about you just get it over with?
Yeah, this is a human centipede. It's bad from the start to the finish. You just roll right through it.
What's so wrong with Miami at
Boston? It's on Friday is what's bad about it.
What is so wrong with Miami at Boston College? AJ Dillon should be back. It'll be fun to watch him. The winner of this game, like, still has a decent shot to play in the ACC championship, maybe win 10 games. Miami is just like, oh boy, the like final episode of The Bachelor levels of quarterback indecision that Mark Richt is going through, right? Oh, I love two quarterbacks, but I can only start one. Help, what do I do? They're both kind of bad. Shit. Why would you not watch this game? Why would you not pay attention to this game?
Because it's Friday.
And it's Boston College.
You're you know what? Boston College.
If this game was Thursday, I would say this game is great.
Okay.
It's on Friday, so it's bad.
Fine. Let me change this one for you. So, number 23, Utah at UCLA. Utah, currently the leader in the Pac-12 South at 3-2 in the conference. Do you know what UCLA's record is in conference?
2-3.
2-2. So with a win in this game, UCLA, the team that sucked for so long, could be in a very comfortable driver's seat to win the fucking Pac-12 South. The Pac-12 championship could have a 5-loss team playing in it.
Isn't winning the Pac-12 South kind of like volunteering for frontline duty? Right, where everybody steps back all at once and you're the only one who didn't. It's kind of what this is.
UCLA would love to get shot on the battlefield at this point. Are you kidding me? UCLA usually like can't get out of like PT without gangrene. This is great.
Saturday.
So they have a record of 4-9.
I just want somebody to make a sincere case for them getting a New Year's Six bowl.
Fine, we can talk about Saturday. You suck.
Saturday!
Phew. Much better. All right, so the first game on our list is far better than any of the choices Ryan made.
Yeah.
We are vastly upgrading our interest in terms of prestige.
I feel like we're criticizing Ryan for not being... I feel like we're missing the point of damn it, Ryan.
No, my favorite turn is to always go from saying damn it, Ryan, to going to a craptacular game immediately entering Saturday. Oh, hey, Jason, you were talking about the first game we wanted to talk about.
All right, see yourself.
Yeah, so looking at these awful games Ryan picked, let's go something much better. North Carolina, Virginia, starting off your Saturday. That is excellent, far better than any of the choices Ryan made.
Raise up!
Virginia, they, you want to talk about weird division winners. Virginia you don't even have to do any kind of complicated math to put Virginia in the ACC title game. It's just kind of, it's just floating right there, right in front of us. We can dread it. We can run from it. I wouldn't say it's inevitable. That's a little bit much.
But this is here who 5-2 Virginia has for the rest of the season. Home against they have this game home against North Carolina, who's 1-3 in the ACC. Home against Pitt, who we've already discussed, has exhausted their super weapon capabilities. They're done for the year. Home against Liberty. On the road against Georgia Tech, 1-3 in the ACC. And then on the road against Virginia Tech, who's currently 3-0 and leading the Coastal right now. So, like, 8-9 win Virginia? Certainly on the table. And, yeah, 10 win if they can pull off all five. 10 win Virginia could be a thing. But you've missed the most important factor of all, you stupid donkeys. Who is the quarterback for the Virginia Cavaliers?
No one knows.
An Arizona State transfer, you asshole.
No.
Why are you like this today?
Prove it.
That's like a foreign exchange student.
Yeah.
What do you mean, prove it? It's, you know.
Is there a language barrier between Arizona State and Mr. Jefferson's University?
I think it's important when you have a degree from the most prestigious university in the world.
To I didn't say degree.
Wait, Arizona State hold on, degrees?
I didn't say degree. I just he went there for 2 years, and one of them was an injury redshirt.
Oh, like you can't get a degree at Arizona degrees. State in 2 years?
I thought
years.
It was like daycare, but with Jello luges.
Dude, adult daycare sounds incredible. I don't mean...
No, adult
I got
daycare
my 2 years at Arizona
Lord,
State
yeah,
in strip club
incredible.
Mechanics.
You guys, I think we just had a business idea.
Adult
daycare.
Daycare?
That's literally what a
no,
retirement
like
home is.
No, like adult daycare.
No.
No, adult daycare.
Yeah, I mean adult daycare. We don't mean senior citizens.
Great.
We mean
now daycare. Hugh Freeze is all horned up.
No, I don't mean like porn daycare. I mean like daycare for us. Like I want a nanny.
It doesn't matter.
Spencer
Hugh Freeze is all horned
needs
up.
A nanny.
So what if Pitt, when they didn't beat Penn State, they didn't beat Notre Dame? I think the weapon's still powering.
No. You're saying it was powering for Virginia?
Bored now.
It's going to blast Virginia right the ACC
Jesus,
title game.
This is the cruelest thing. This is the cruelest thing you've ever said. This would be
so fast, Virginia.
I like this and because then, this is the version of Return of the Jedi where the rebels think they're allying with the Ewoks, and then when the Empire attacks, the Ewoks just stab them. Just stab all the rebels.
I mean, what makes you think the bloodlust of the Ewok will stop at the Empire? They just enjoy fucking people up.
That's
they
true.
Just like
where did they have that? Where'd they get that dress for Leia?
Yeah, please. Someone else had to wear it.
They killed and ate a woman.
I'll find this for you, Ryan.
They killed and ate a woman.
I was going
I'm sure there's a canon answer for this.
Yeah. I was going to ask, I mean, just frankly, look at these two schools and think, I don't know which one of them had a large part in inciting violence randomly. Just, I don't know. Who's the Ewok here?
Number 18, Iowa at number 17, Penn State.
Yeah. Which I'm going to lay this out here.
Yeah.
Which is which one of these teams is the more consistent, biddable, winning, charismatic presence? Which one has punted fewer times?
Which one has a more impressive resume at this point? What's the best win Penn State has right now?
App State.
Yep. App State in overtime at home where they needed a last-minute drive just to tie the game. Other than that, beat Indiana by 5, beat Pitt, beat Illinois, beat Kent State. That's it. That is a real slim resume to be 17.
Meanwhile, who has been knocking the hell up
Iowa.
Against? Yeah. Did they beat Wisconsin? No, they didn't beat Wisconsin.
No, they didn't beat Wisconsin.
But you know, they beat Iowa State.
They beat the shit out of Indiana. They beat the shit out of Maryland.
Yeah.
They beat the shit out of Minnesota. They're putting up like 40 points in these games we're talking about here. Beat Northern Illinois handily. Beat Iowa State ugly, but beat them. I mean, the idea that one of these teams is that Penn State is ranked ahead of them is some real. Oof.
Oh, we're talking about my Iowa Hawkeyes? I was just looking up. Apparently, this canon question has not been answered yet.
Exactly.
So, Ryan, you finally stumped the truck.
We're talking about your Iowa Hawkeyes and how they're like. There's no good reason why they should be a spot behind Penn State in the rankings, is there?
No. You look at the rankings, you look at, I believe they are number 9 in resume S&P Plus. They are number 11 in the Massey Composite. Computers are smarter than humans.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. You've seen the movies about that.
Mm-hmm.
Just move them up like 6 spots and then you'll look less stupid.
I've seen the net.
Yeah.
Also, Iowa's going for it on 4th down this season, y'all. They've gone for it 15 times. 15!
That's amazing. That's fantastic.
They usually, I was looking up the numbers there today, and that is in, I think, the year 2011, they went for it, I think, 10 times all year.
Yeah. No, they're hot, man. They're going on 50, and they're making like 66% of them, which is phenomenal. So I don't know, man. Kirk, the Cenogenics is working. You can join Kern and just, you know, plowing through your 50s and 60s with the zeal of a man 20 years your age.
You know what it is looked in the numbers here as well. And Nate Stanley, Iowa's quarterback, is like on third down. He just levels up. He grows a foot taller. His hair turns gold, starts glowing like the anime person. I don't know who it is. Someone knows who it is. Fine.
Sure. Sure.
And
that's also you're Craig T. Nelson you're thinking of.
Yes. Yes. So if I were to tell you that Iowa's quarterback ranks number one in the country in yards on third down throws, would you believe me?
Yeah.
I don't know why you would lie to us, your trusted friends and colleagues.
Yeah. Well, it's true. I mean, it sounds like a far-fetched fact is what I'm saying.
Well, thank you for not lying.
Yeah, I will now give you three truths and a lie about Iowa's quarterback. No, I won't do that.
he's been phenomenal on third down. He's almost as great as your large adult son, Joe Burrow, another third down master. Don't look up.
He might have as many yards on third down as my son has on all downs.
Yeah.
I would like to paint the picture for you for how I hope this Iowa season transpires. And I don't think this will make Iowa fans too mad, but let's walk it through anyway. First off, Iowa runs the table, wins their remaining five games, is at that point a one-loss team, probably ranked top eight, feels right. I don't see how they would be that far up.
They'll be number like 14 by then.
Yeah, it'd be something shitty like that. But here's the bad news. Wisconsin also runs the table, and because Wisconsin only has one loss in conference, and because they have the tiebreaker over Iowa, Wisconsin goes to the Big Ten championship game. This means that Iowa is the Alabama of this year. They are the 2017 Alabama of this year, where we decide as a group. They only have one loss. It's an excusable loss to a quality opponent on the road. And you know what? We're putting one loss Iowa, who didn't even make the Big Ten championship, in the playoff. That's what I want for Iowa this year. And I think we can do it. I think we can do it. And it's crazy. It's just crazy enough to work.
Can we go one step further here? Ohio State has one loss and wins the Big Ten. But let's compare a record against common opponents. Let's how'd these teams do against Purdue?
Oh my god!
Because Iowa, the numbers have Iowa. They might be a 1-point underdog at Purdue. That's a lot fewer than 29.
Is there some way of getting two Big Ten teams in the playoff? And if so, can those two Big Ten teams be Ohio State and Iowa? And if so, can I duplicate a result where Iowa scores exactly 55 points again on Ohio State? Preferably in order to win a national title.
Is that happening in the semifinal or in the championship
game? No, championship game.
So to be clear, you want a championship game played in Northern California where Iowa and Ohio State fans are the people in attendance.
100%, and I want that shit to be on primetime with millions of dollars in ad losses like lining up behind it.
Oh, my God.
That's what I want.
The economy's tanked.
So many sweatshirts with, like, real, like, oversized hoods on them. Jesus.
Yeah, sitting there going, Silicon Valley looks kind of shitty to me.
Brian, are you saying, like, hoods that would fit, like, a cow's horns?
Yes.
Yeah. But I want that to happen, and I want people to go, I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair, and then watch in horror as the play unfolds exactly as it did in the 55-point effort by Iowa.
Kirk Ferentz is nude, and he's levitating. Oh, my God.
It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Coach Manhattan.
They call it the Harvest Moon.
Yeah, that's what I want to happen. It won't, but that's what I want to happen. Point being, Iowa's a more consistent football team than Penn State, and Penn State's kind of been, I don't know, just as the kids would say, they've been sort of mad fraudulent looking over the last like 2-3 weeks. I don't know.
Kirk Ferentz is the hero of time.
He's the Hawk Irina of time.
I mean, they had the ball for 40 minutes against Maryland. That's a hero of time, if you ask me.
And that's why he barely talks. Link doesn't talk.
I enjoy, I mean, really, the hero we deserve is Kirk Ferentz, because he saw Marilyn on the other sideline and goes, y'all don't want to watch any more of this than you have to. Run it. Run it.
So the hero of time, his whole thing, he's avenging a tree, which mm-hmm. in that Rose Bowl, the story was a little bit the other way around.
Yeah,
the Deku tree done fell on Lincoln, that one.
But that tree is dying now, so it kind of works.
That's true. Okay.
Number 21, USF.
Oh, look at you. You, come on. Come on.
I'm sorry.
Just talk about it. Just talk. Florida's. Listen.
We got to find a way to put up an image of the spreadsheet so people can follow along.
I support Ryan's tone. I just don't know what happened.
I skipped number 9, Florida. Oh. Why are we at 9? Versus number 7, Georgia, in the world's largest outdoor cocktail party in Jacksonville, Florida. The most interesting thing I can cite about this game this week is this. The thing you know, both teams coming off of a bye week. The thing that you might not know, Jacksonville's mobilizing over 600 police officers to, keep the peace. Which, if you know Florida and Georgia fans, 600 police officers, it's a nice start.
Do you know how this rivalry got its now unofficial nickname?
I do not.
All right, so this is according to Wikipedia. The nickname was first coined in the 1950s by Bill Castles, a sports editor for the Florida Times Union, which I believe is the Jacksonville local paper. Mm-hmm. He claimed he came up with the name after seeing a drunk, stumbling fan offer an alcoholic beverage to an on-duty police officer.
At least it wasn't a police horse. Although it might have been. It doesn't specify.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Sheriff horse. I'm running
horses
for re-election.
Horses are deputizable?
Deputizable, yes.
Deputable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I've seen the New Orleans Police Department. If it happened there, I mean, that's totally normal. Up to and including the cop having a beverage on duty. That's
police
happened.
Horses can vote, and their vote counts just the same as yours.
There's also a traveling trophy in this game, and I honestly did not know what it was before this.
Is this the Florida War Canoe? No,
I think that's
Florida State.
I think that's either Florida State or the Triangle Florida State Miami.
Big Ten fans are listening to this like they have so little regard for their rivalry trophies.
It's the war.
If we had more solid metal bronzed animals, we would take them a lot more seriously.
Yeah.
Or live pigs.
It's called the War for the Oar.
Oh, that's it was a canoe. It's like, yeah.
Is it on I-4?
I don't know. It's more like I-10, so or 95. So
it's the interstate that flows northward.
Yeah, it's just, no. This oar means nothing to me.
Wow. Yeah, no. This is, by the way, like...
The War for the Oar at Epcot Centaur.
You would not want the sort of objects and or mythology or mythological figures that would be generated by most SEC rivalries. You wouldn't, because...
No, but I'm going to strive for them regardless.
Yeah, I mean, in the Big Ten, it's like, oh, we can have the Paul Bunyan Trophy, or you can have, you know, Floyd of Rosedale, who was a festive pig. And in something like Florida, Georgia, it would be like, you can have Ernie the Cockroach, this giant 240-pound iron palmetto bug sculpture. Named after an actual 240-pound cockroach.
I would love that.
If lightning strikes and it comes alive roof. And it will tear your town to pieces.
I would put that. No, they already made that movie. It's called Matinee, and it's excellent.
Damn.
I think all of Georgia's border state rivalries should be for water rights.
No, this is the... I already called this. This is the Tennessee-Georgia game. Which currently has no name, no stakes, and no trophy. It is boring as shit every year.
Okay, this oar is actually bullshit because it is not presented at the game. It is presented to the winning university's student body president.
Oh,
lame!
So no one gets a chance to get beaten over the head with it while wearing a helmet? That's dumb.
No.
Yeah. The South Carolina-Georgia game should just be an oxygen tank on wheels. Actually,
with a pack of Marlboros attached to it.
If we were keeping it extremely real, we would just say that the Florida Georgia Trophy would be a giant bottle of OxyContin,
but it's full of vape.
Yeah,
it's full of vape juice.
I feel like that's the Arkansas Alabama Trophy should be like a giant vape pen, right? But if we're doing Florida
Georgia,
that's
the college football playoff trophy.
It's an actual
the golden pen. Oh man, we are at most 2 years away from Juul getting title sponsorship.
Listen, it's about academics presented by Juul.
Yeah. Because when it comes to academics, there's no smoke and mirrors.
Also in the Florida Georgia game, there were violent post-game celebrations in 1984 and 1985, where respectively Florida and Georgia fans stormed the field and tore down the goalposts after they won. In the Georgia year, there were 65 arrests, which is pretty damn impressive. So in 1986, the City Council of Jacksonville passed an ordinance to award the goalposts to the winning school so that the fans would not storm the field and try to tear them down. But because Florida and Georgia fans in Jacksonville are all broken assholes, neither school wanted them under those circumstances.
Oh, I respect that so much.
Yeah.
if you won't let us take them by force and against the law, we don't want them.
You can keep your sorry legal goalposts.
The thrill is gone.
I can go buy a goalpost at the gun range. I know,
guys. You took the spark. You took the flame.
It just ain't the same. Keep your government goalposts.
All right, see, we talked about the Florida Georgia game without talking about the Florida Georgia game.
There's a preview. Who's going to win? Read between the lines.
It's probably Georgia.
Pigeons or seagulls. We established this long ago.
Sea pigeons.
Number 21 USF traveling all the way to Houston.
Jesus.
USF, yeah. One of only 5 undefeated teams in FBS. How are they undefeated? Don't look too close, because yeah, that shit is tenuous.
We've played a variety of teams, including Clarksdale Tech, Technical Clarksdale.
Legally, this is a car I'm selling you, and I can't answer any more questions than that.
We played Ohio Sturt.
we played literally and Ohio State
and Georgia Tech. We also played Georgia Tech.
Yeah. Do you want to watch Alabama transfer Blake Barnett run for his life and possibly get pile drive several times in this game? Watch this game. Watch it, because they're playing Houston.
Is that like dollar store Blake Bortles? Kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
That's really not far off.
Yeah. Also, it's a lot like dollar store Blake Bortles in that.
Blake Bortles was dollar store Blake Bortles. Dollar Stortles.
Dollar store. No, he's multi.
Blake Bucks.
He's like $30 million Blake Bortles.
I was going to say. Yeah.
I mean, that's how he can afford to build all these franchises. Real estate ain't cheap.
Speaking of Jacksonville crimes.
Yeah, do you know how many trays of lemon drops that man can buy without flinching?
Yes, I do. Oh.
The Duval Bandit himself.
He rode in on a horse made of better players surrounding him. And he rode out with 30
Man,
mil.
What's going to happen to my favorite strain of good place jokes if he actually ends up getting benched for any considerable amount of time?
I love how they've hedged. Like they started the second season with Maya Rudolph saying, you know, people on Earth are discussing whether Blake Bortles is maybe kind of good. And that followed up a season where they made the AFC title game. But the joke still works. Because they didn't take it all the way to, he's definitely good.
We've actually decided that Mike Schur should just buy the Jacksonville Jaguars to ensure continuity of the plot.
If he puts on a mustache like their current guy.
But then Mark Brunell has to live in your attic. You don't want
that. That's fine.
You know, we all have to make sacrifices during wartime.
That's true. I didn't know we were. Okay, sure.
Yeah. Shut down Fullcast, sponsored by Northrop Grumman.
Northrop Grumman sponsors a bowl game anyway.
Oh God, I always forget that. Oh,
like, why do they even? Why do they even advertise? They just should have like somebody go Northrop Grumman. Zoom. What do you guys actually do?
You remember when Iron Man was a bad guy? Well, he sponsors 2 bowl games in a sport for. That includes some teenagers.
I think they would probably start that off with, remember when Iron Man was really cool?
Yeah. Before he was a cuck.
What's up, fellow child soldiers?
Iron Man's back and he's here to fuck.
Yeah. Remember when Iron Man wasn't a lib?
Yeah, when he decided to become soft and turn into a vigilante powered by an unbeatable iron suit. Yeah.
What a pussy.
Yeah, I think USF loses this game. I've seen this before.
Yeah. They are, let's put it like this. You have an undefeated team that is an 8-point underdog.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Yeah, so no one else is taking this bet either.
No, I would love to chicken bet this game, but I'm not doing that.
Nope.
No. Now, this next game I might chicken bet. No.
I'll take the USF Houston chicken bet. If you want to take the over in that game.
What is the over under?
I'm guessing it's quite large. I haven't looked
at it. Yeah, you looked that up. We will begin the discussions of Kentucky at Missouri.
Kentucky at Missouri. Which 74
points.
No, thank you, sir.
Yeah, it's right there, isn't it?
Jesus. Missouri, wasn't that the Sandman's lock last week that Memphis would win that game with the points?
Just ran out of time. I went 13-8 last week. 13-8. This was one of the 8. Sandman took a loss. Sandman's stone cold lock of the week came up short.
Listen, sometimes the Sandman on public channels has to give out bad information to throw the feds off. But if you subscribe to the Sandman's exclusive $14.99 a week guaranteed lock newsletter, that's where the fed free picks are.
Yeah, because the feds don't know how to use newsletters. They'll never crack the code. I got one of them captchas on there that's like, it's like click this if you're not a fed.
Yeah. Also, you can invest in his cryptocurrency, Bitcoin.
It's got like the jumbled up letters on the captcha, yeah. And they spell out, I'm not a fed. So that's what you have to type.
Spell out crime, and a fed won't type that.
Fed's like, ew, yuck.
Entrapment. Can't do it.
Close tab.
My integrity won't be allowed me.
Yeah, we're in a year, by the way, where Kentucky's number 12.
Kentucky's number 12. You forgot about that, didn't you? You just sort of slipped your mind.
We've allowed
this Kentucky thing to continue.
Man, you know what's going to suck is when they beat Georgia, it's not even going to be an upset.
Wow.
Hold on. I'm going to take that. We're going to leave that where it is in the podcast, but I'm also going to copy that and put it at the end of the podcast because I want that to be the end. So bad.
Just loop it, yeah.
You can cut it out from there.
No, I want it to exist in both places because I want Georgia fans to have to hear it twice.
Oh, thank you. Oh, this is a good year for me.
I like Kentucky and Mizzou a lot because these teams are opposites.
And Mizzou is like the Albertsons of teams, so it's like a supermarket fight.
They are opposites in the sense that a decapitated man and a head without a body are opposites.
Exactly. Kentucky on offense, they just sort of run until they get to punt.
What is that?
And Mizzou on offense.
That's a decapitated man.
Right. And let's see. So Mizzou would be the bodiless head.
Yeah, correct.
That bodiless head that just says, throw the fucking ball.
I will say this. If you could, and just like a decapitated head and a headless body, when you put them together, guess what you get? A horrifying monstrosity. You'd get a really
damn good team if you combine their best elements. You would also get a horrible team if you combine their worst.
Well, still wouldn't be able to pass against ranked teams. That's why Missouri is going to lose this game.
Did you see what Barry Odom had to say leading up to this about the Kentucky football program?
Of course I did. I sit on the edge of my seat for all of Barry Odom's comments.
Basically, and I don't know the context, so I don't know how he was asked this, but he basically went on what sounded like a very loving monologue about how, well, you know, you see what happened. Mark Stoops got the time and the space to build the program that he wanted. You see the results. It's hard to argue with that. It's like, gosh, Barry,
you gotta let a coach stay for at least 6 years.
Barry, where on what prompted that discussion? I wonder.
You got to do that. You got to give him time to lose a few pounds to, you know, maybe get his stuff in order again.
Maybe grow his hair back.
Yeah, gotta grow your hair back. I mean,
Barry Odom, he was doing this last year and the year before too, like making these kind of media comments where it's like everything's basically just thinly veiled. Please don't fire me.
Sequoias, you know, they get, you know, decades to grow. You don't expect them to be mighty and tall in three and a half seasons. I think I deserve at least Sequoia contract.
I think I should be here for about 60 years.
And yeah. Then we'll see. Look, and then we can judge.
The majesty of somebody who gets a full decade to resurrect a football program, you'll be shocked.
You can't fire a coach before he's had a full recruiting cycle, right?
That's well, right.
How is it not, how is it a full recruiting cycle if recruits that were born last year haven't even had the chance to be recruited by me? I need a full 18 years.
I would counter that the coach doesn't actually get a proper shot until a complete carbon cycle has occurred. So
that's right. Look at the geologic time scale. This is nothing.
So the game will be weird. And then yeah. this is a weird schedule this week. That like just lots of weird stuff.
We got double Sandman.
Yeah, we do have doubles. So there are two numerical trends I want to point out in the 8 o'clock games that will probably, weirdly enough, draw the most attention. One is Notre Dame Navy. Should be a demolition. They're playing in San Diego for summer. San Diego has boats. Great. Navy
no, because it's a Sandman special, and you're taking them to the beach.
We're taking you to Sand Maniego. All right, so Notre Dame is favored by at least 3 touchdowns. As readers of the Sandman's newsletter know, when you see a triple option academy team underdog by more than 3 touchdowns, you grab that number. These teams, since 1995, they are 76% against the spread as underdogs. That is insane, impossible to beat. Well, is there a 24% chance that Notre Dame covers that gigantic spread? There is, but 76 is as close to a sure thing as you will ever find in gambling anywhere, period.
Plus, Notre Dame's going to be looking ahead to the Northwestern game, the classic battle for the hearts of Chicagoites who didn't get into Michigan.
The battle for Chicago.
Why don't y'all go to Vanderbilt?
We call the trophy in this rivalry the French trophy.
That's what we do down here when we don't get into Duke.
We're all French. I got into Vandy. Hey. I'm hurt.
Oh, God. I actually have no response to this. God dang, Spencer, you used to call me on my cell phone.
I've never heard him feel pain like that.
I've never heard him sound genuinely plaintive. I have no response to this.
I'm sorry I didn't want to major in elegant white supremacy.
Oh, wow.
We're the fancy white supremacists.
Oh my God, you're my iron giant, but I'm not the little kid. I'm the bad guy.
Superman.
I also want to point out Texas, the wildly overrated Texas. Number fucking 6 in the AP poll. 6. They lost to
Maryland. It's too low.
All the points that you use up not ranking USC have to go to Texas by law.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, it's wild that a few months ago during our Texas podcast, we did a Texas podcast. It's weird. I made the case that Texas is not actually overrated by the media. And this is how you fuckers repay me? You rank this Texas team number 6? Well, okay, we'll do something about this because they're going to Oklahoma State as 3-point favorites. S&P Plus would favor Oklahoma State by about 7. So that's a 10-point difference between the number that usually beats Vegas and Vegas itself.
Spencer, I have a long-term chicken bet to propose.
Line it up, son.
Long-term chicken.
Texas, number 6 right now. And I'll let you decide which side of this you want to be on. When they play Kansas on November 23rd, will Texas be a top, let's say, 13 team, top 15 team, let's say top 15, or will they be unranked?
And are we talking AP or playoff rankings?
Let's say AP, since that's more predictable, since we don't know what the playoff thinks of them right now. Does that seem fair?
So I just have to say that if they're going to be ranked, right?
No, you just say they either, anything, if they're ranked 25 to 16, it's a push and it doesn't apply. You get to decide either are you on the side of Texas will be a top 15 team, which allows them to arguably lose one, maybe two, that seems a little iffy, games in their next four. Or
do you want to hear the upcoming schedule, Spencer?
I am looking at it.
Okay. Or will it be unranked? Which side of that would you rather have?
No, man. No. Top 15.
Okay.
In AP.
Yeah, no, they've already got this kind of buoyancy. If they're at six, dude, yeah, they're going to have to, they'd have to do some spectacular pants soiling between now and then.
Read the schedule for the benefit of the listener.
All right. So for the benefit of the listeners, what I am betting on is that they beat Oklahoma State, who I don't see any reason. Oklahoma State's not real good this year. Or consistent and haven't been.
P.S. Texas beat Kansas State by 5 and Baylor by 6. And you could say the same thing.
They beat everybody by single scores. I have no problem riding a marginal team through marginal victories. This is a marginal team. And by that, I mean they win things by thin margins.
Okay. See, they lost to Maryland by a thin margin.
They did. True. And then Iowa beat them by 23-0, which means that on a neutral field, Iowa would beat Texas 84-0.
Yes.
I feel very comfortable saying
no arguments whatsoever.
Yeah, I didn't figure I'd get any opposition on that. Then they host West Virginia, who, again, I think West Virginia would have problems defensively against Texas, and Texas would do some kind of, you know, horse shit that they do on offense to get points, and they'd win by, they'd probably win by 4 points, just like they win every game by like 4 or 5 points.
Okay, yep.
Their hardest game is when they go out to Lubbock, because I just think that they won't be able. The hard thing, you know what the hard thing about preparing for Texas Tech this year is? You got to prepare for like 3 quarterbacks, because inevitably one of them's going to be in the shop needing a new part, injured, and you'll have to deal with at least 2 different quarterbacks, and they'll prepare all of them differently. And it's not like either any of them is insanely dangerous. It's just hard to prepare a defense for all that, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably the toughest game they've got. Then they host Iowa State, which Iowa State beat the hell out of one team already this year. So I assume that they've cashed that. Like Pitt, they've charged up. They've gotten their upset. And now they're going to recharge for next year. And then they finish with Kansas. So let's say they lose two.
And that Kansas game, we're talking about before that Kansas game. We're not going to
include before. So coming out, so on November 18th, mm-hmm. right, when we're tabulating all of the votes in the AP poll, if they split those and they go 2-2, I still think people probably have them ranked to the top 15, if only because they're currently at 6th, and who the hell else is going to push them out of the way?
It will depend a little bit on, well, if one of those losses is to West Virginia, West Virginia will push them out of the way, although West Virginia is a top 15 team now. But it will a lot of it will depend on timing. If they lose to Texas Tech and Iowa State back-to-back, they will, and both of those teams are unranked, that will drop them big time. That will drop them absolutely big time.
But it's Texas. So the big time's like 11.
Yeah. This is, see, it's not
can
just
propose,
like I'm betting
can
on.
Can I propose a side bet here?
Sure. Yeah.
The same terms, but in the playoff rankings, not the AP, and I will take unranked.
Wow.
You're going to go unranked. Okay.
Yeah, I want you to take that with Spencer. I don't want 2 bets on this.
And again, 16-25 is a push.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'll Riverside that. Yeah.
Okay. And what was it going into Kansas?
Going into the Kansas game. So as of, we'll say, 11-22.
Very good.
Texas is going 9-3 this year.
Granted.
It will be interesting to see how.
You know how many losses they have right now, right?
Mm-hmm. I know where I am on this budget.
Okay.
And you know what? Unlike some of you, I have the spirit of Texas in my heart. I live without fear. I live without fear, which is probably explains a lot of really bad decisions that I've made in life.
And that's why you're going to be on the front line in the war against the bugs.
That's I'm ready.
Texas football, would you like to know more?
Man, I thought you said the war against the Bucks, and I was like, what did Jameis do now?
I'm just saying, you know what? I know their record. I know what they've got to spend here. You can lose 2.
God,
9-3.
You're invested in Texas now. Look at you.
I'm always invested in my horns. Okay.
Scared money don't make money.
as Matthew McConaughey's fat older brother. It's so sad. I'm younger than Matthew McConaughey.
He got into Vanderbilt too, I bet.
I bet he doesn't even know where Vanderbilt is. Isn't Vanderbilt really in your heart? No, Matthew. That's not the answer to this question.
Man, you know what's going to suck is when they beat Georgia, it's not even going to be an upset.